This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm not going to say, you know, that he's going to take Sean Murphy's job, but I will tell you, if Murphy hits 181 like he did last year, and this kid comes up, Mike, and hits 298, which he did last year in AAA, you know, it's going to be hard for Snit to make a decision on putting Murphy in there more than Drake Baldwin. And by the way, Baldwin, you guys know this, right? He's our top prospect. So there are high expectations for him as we get ready for opening day. Again, it's on the road against Padres. Next week, the Braves will be home. But I'm just telling you, like, I'm already getting these questions. Well, how good are we going to be? The Dodgers are stacked. Yes, but that doesn't guarantee they're going to win the chip. And I just think these are the kind of things. You know what you're going to get from Acuna and Harris and Olsen, right? You know what you're getting. If Drake Baldwin hits Mike in this lineup, that changes things.
Yes, then we can trade Murphy and get Travis d'Arnaud back, and then I'd be happy with that. And then Little D can sort of mentor our rookie catcher, and we got a good guy in the clubhouse.
Well, you know, you can always come home and be a Brave. Isn't that right, Jesse Chavez?
Yeah, that's another – like, I talked about it with Grant yesterday. I get it. We all know the blind spot or whatever you want to call it. It's just pitching the way we've operated. This ain't the night shift. This is – I don't even know what to call this. Call it the third shift. This is not great. So, I don't know, man. And Kimbrel, they've all been designated, and we'll see when they get up here. But it's a very uncompelling bullpen to start the season.
Yeah, and the Kimbrel thing, guys, it's a risk-reward, okay? His body failed him, for those who don't know. If it works, great. If it doesn't, we didn't spend a whole lot to go get a guy who, from a nostalgia standpoint, Mike, we all remember how good he was when he was here, but if he can give us just a little bit and his body doesn't break down, and he said he needed a break, he got it, great. But I agree, I'm not my hopes are not there that Kimbrel's going to be the difference maker, but I do think Drake Baldwin could be. I'm just telling you guys right now, there's some upside to this, and it may end up costing Sean Murphy some playing time. We'll talk more about it here. We're going to let you hear what Brian Snicker had to say about the Ian Anderson trade. Also coming up, we're going to talk with Jason Longshore. Yeah, I was out last weekend, Mike. What happened? What happened? With Atlanta United, what happened?
Okay, so the good news is we go to Cincinnati, and we scored a goal.
Okay.
And then they scored a goal. And they scored another goal, and then we scored a goal. So we got a draw, but it's, you know, it's kind of like when a draw feels like a win. It was an own goal. But the problem was we had a situation where, once again, our guy scores. I think it was Latte shoots, and somebody else is in our uniform in the open net and deflects it right into the other team's goalkeeper. Brutal. So if you hadn't seen this, it's just we've still got to work on our spacing. We joke around about stay in your lane. I still think that Ronnie Dyla has got to figure out where these guys are supposed to go when they're on the attack. It's kind of crazy.
Okay, so wait. And I'm asking you this, but I guess I got to ask Jason Longshore. How can we be this talented, but yet we're not scoring goals?
And everybody around the country, especially those weenies up in Charlotte who just are so little brother syndrome, like, how's all that money you spent on your designated players working now? So, yeah, we spent all the loot. Arthur Blank, you can't say that Arthur Blank doesn't put the money into it. But right now, and again, small sample size, but Chris, is the stat, this is the lowest points total through five games. So we've had draws and losses. So there you go. Not good.
All right. Jason's going to join us here in less than 10 minutes. Stay there. We'll ask the analyst who does games with our own Mike Conti about this and try to figure it out. And look, I'm not telling you we're giving up on him or anything like that. It's early in the season. But the fact is, I thought it'd be a little bit more than this offensively, and it's been lackluster. We'll talk to Jason coming up. Hey, behind the glass, our man Oren. By the way, I got to get caught up on everything. Did you get a house yet? You got a house?
Oh, yeah. We covered it yesterday.
Yeah. So
coming with 20%. No PMI in his world.
No PMI, 20%.
Man. You've been saving.
Yeah. And then we got the mortgage buy down stuff. Got to get that situated today or tomorrow.
Okay.
Homeowners insurance, get that taken care of.
Yeah.
And closing on the 7th. Monday morning, the 7th.
Congratulations!
Thank you.
That's a great feeling, man.
Thank you.
It really is. And when they once you sign your life away, and you realize I've really signed my life away, it's a great feeling.
Yeah. So it's cool. We did that this afternoon, and we found out about baby number 2 this morning. So.
Oh, you know what it is?
Don't know what it is. Just know how big it's going to be.
Now, if it's a boy, I'm hoping Georgia gets him as a defensive tackle.
Yeah. We're going to be a near tier 10-pounder, Carl.
What?
Yeah. He's about 5 and change right now, and doing the math at about a half a pound a week at least. We're going to be above 9, close to 10.
Wow.
Yeah. Brittany is not happy.
The doctor said they've never seen a tackling sled inside a uterus before.
Yeah, he's doing work, man. Yeah.
He's already working out.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically he's got a bench press in there. He's got a blocking sled.
All he's doing is working out and sleeping. That's all he's doing. Just working out and resting all day long.
Hey, I love it. That's great, man. Congratulations. Turtle, our executive producer. The crew is back together, man. Let's get to the Daily Download.
It's time for Dukes and Bell's Daily Download.
You've got mail.
All the stories you need to know about the world of Atlanta sports in bite size.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Story number 1.
By the way, first house I ever bought, literally, you didn't have to put 20% down. You could say you worked at McDonald's and they were going to give you the house.
Things was much simpler back then, Carl.
I'm just telling you the rigmarole that you go through
now.
You feel like it didn't used to be that way. Now I understand why it was and why it shouldn't have been,
right.
But I'm just telling you, like, literally, how much do you make? I don't know, about $45,000. They
sold.
Go, great, that's enough to get this house.
Well, that's the
thing. It was crazy.
And then you take it back, you're right. If you go back and right before the market crapped out on the whole, like,
2008.
The mortgage default swaps were literally, you said it, anyone. I could get them. I owed the IRS like $150,000.
Didn't matter.
At that time, you could get a mortgage.
It didn't matter. I'm telling you. So right. I say that when you said what you just said about, hey, none of that stuff mattered. It was like, oh, what do you do?
Right.
Ah, work the drive-through. You could get this house. It didn't matter. All right, let's talk about the Braves. Mike, you mentioned Ian Anderson. Let's hear Brian Snicker talk about the trade and how honest he was today on the steakhouse.
That had literally happened in the middle of the game when he was pitching. I sent him inside and we took him out of the game. So you know what? I'm happy for Ian. You know what? It didn't look like he was going to make our club. I love that kid and what he meant to our organization and the person that he is. And he didn't have a great spring. I mean, we probably weren't going to be able to carry him. So I think this was a heck of a lot better than maybe having to set him down, tell him you're going to designate him.
Good stuff from Snit.
Right. I mean, being real.
And here's the other thing. This is the kind of stuff that we don't think about, but the Braves at least try to do the right thing by guys, if they can.
Right.
You can't
give every opportunity.
Yeah, you can't always do it, Mike, but if you can, he's right. This is better than it's just, hey, Ian, we're going to designate you, man. Good luck. Like, hey, you know what? We're going to give you another opportunity to go somewhere else and pitch. And if you have success, great. You can be in, you know, all the things you want to be. But that's pretty cool by Alex Anthopoulos and I think the Braves front office.
Look, we've had guys, you know, come up through the system, and, you know, Carl's heard me do this rant over and over again. You know, whether it was Fulte or Tuki Toussaint or Sean Newcomb or, you know, Soroka, the injuries with Soroka, unfortunately, the injuries with Ian Anderson just added up. But, you know, from an organization that gave you Glavin and Smoltz and Avery, you know, and later on develop more pitching, it's just crazy how, you know, it's just been a struggle to get these guys to come up and stick. Some of the circumstances, obviously Max Fried, they developed, and the rest is history after getting him in a trade. But this is where you really need, you know, if we're honest, A.J. Smith-Shawver to stick.
Yes.
And it'd be refreshing if he does. Bryce Elder, well, your guy was an all-star. Then you realize he didn't have all that electric stuff, and then it just they can't seem to get him to find another way to get up there. Right, and stick in the show as well.
Rotation is set. We now know this and what it's going to look like, and it's kind of been laid out as the Braves get the season started on Thursday. But, yeah, good luck to Ian Anderson. But you're right, Mike. I mean, this for him is probably the best-case scenario that he gets to go somewhere, and he'll get a lot of run there. I mean, he'll get a chance to pitch and really prove himself. But he was not good enough to make this club. Meanwhile, Snicker was talking about Drake Baldwin, and I'm just telling you, this kid hits like he did last year, man. He's going to take some time away from – even when Sean Murphy gets back and is healthy. because you can't replace that offense with what Murphy was doing last year. Now, I'm not telling you he's going to do it, but he's already shown you what he's capable of. Here's Snit talking about the kid.
You know, that as a left-handed hitting catcher, you know, Mac's got to come to mind. I mean, you know, he's kind of advanced where he's at, just like Brian was. And you know, this kid's been very impressive this spring. You know, we're going to start this thing up Thursday and see where it goes. But, man, he's had a nice camp, and he's done a great job with our pitchers. They like throwing to him. The throwing has been really good. I think Eddie's done a great job with him. And, you know, it's just he's a very impressive young man.
Brian McCann, Mike?
Yes. I mean, look, and Brian was great behind the dish. You know, his arm was strong for so many years. I mean, look, nobody's running like we thought they were with the bigger bases anyway. I mean, I'm not sure exactly where Murph's war would stack up with William Contreras, but I'll take a guy who can hit for his living, right?
I would.
I mean, take a guy who can give you some home run power and some average, and that's one thing that he's not. So, I mean, it's basically everyone's conceded. Grant joined us yesterday, and basically, not trying to put words in Grant's mouth, but he kind of said, yeah, you're just going to have to deal with RC and not hitting, but be a good fielding shortstop because they weren't going to spend that money on anybody better.
That's how I feel about it. And again, I'd love to have all-stars at every position. You got to sacrifice.
Right. But the 7-8-9 was the when we won the World Series and had the best team in baseball, the 7-8-9 was strong. It wasn't weak.
It was. Let's get to story number two.
Story number two.
So he had his pro day yesterday. Cam Ward, he threw. Titans were there. They possessed the number one overall pick. What was his message for the Titans?
I say not only showing them, but every other team just throwing on rhythm, whether it's three steps on rhythm, five steps on rhythm for under in the gun, heavy play action, you know, gun five with movement outside the pocket, just showing them all, you know, under center stuff that I didn't get to show as much during the season, letting them know that I'm capable of it. Because at the end of the day, the NFL is not playing under center all the time. They're in the gun, but you got to be able to do it. And so that was the main focus for me. And then other than that, it was just making it all about my receivers, trying to throw them catchable balls, make sure not have balls hit the ground. We had a couple. But at the end of the day, you ain't going to be perfect. You always got stuff to get better at.
Yeah, man, he talked about looking forward and making it sound like it's a done deal with Brian Callahan, because Brian Callahan helped to develop Joe Burrow when he came in as a rookie.
Yeah, look, and we'll get into this in our 4th-and-1 coming up at 3 o'clock. I know everybody is on Cam as the number one quarterback. I still have Shador as mine, and I still don't know if the Titans are going to pick him number one overall, Mike. I still feel like Abdul Carter is going to be the guy that they end up taking to improve their defense for the next 10 years. And they'll figure out this quarterback thing. But I get it. You're not going to have the number one pick every single year. So if you feel confident about Cam Ward's ability, and I did, I thought the pro day was good. But sometimes, Mike, I think these pro days, man, they're overplayed. I really do.
Well, it is interesting because everybody's looking for, like, that clutch sort of, like, you know, possession receiver. Xavier Restrepo, remember the guy who had so many big plays for the Hurricanes? Guy ran, like, a 4.8 3.40. People are like, wow, do you have, like, weights in his pants? What the hell's going on? So, I mean, yeah, sometimes it can be, you know, the combine gets overblown, but you always generally kill it at your pro day, and he did not. But Cam Ward, look, I will say this. He does have a stronger arm than Shador. That's not a knock on Shador. I think Shador's got the other intangibles. But yeah, it's. I still think it's going to be Cam Ward. You mentioned it. The Browns go something other than that. Maybe they go Travis Hunter, and the Giants do Sanders. And then we'll see. Then we dump Kirk Cousins for a song and get something for the 2026 draft to Cleveland.